There are 7.5 billion people in this world, driving over 1.5 billion vehicles. 363 million of those vehicles are commercial. These vehicles are transporting people, goods, and services that all do their part to keep the world in motion. From the most populous of places on Earth to the most remote places only accessible during the right conditions. It is not often that we realize how much everyone and everything is constantly in motion until it stops. When it stops, that is where we come in. To grab, pull, push, winch, hoist, jump, unstick, unlock, or just plain maneuver you out of the mess you found yourself in. Some would call us drivers, operators, first responders, or essential workers. But I like to think of us as heroes from the ditch.
In 1947, the U.S. Forest Service introduced us to Smokey Bear. An American black bear wearing a campaign hat became the poster cub for individual responsibility. His message was intended to prevent man-made calamity in the nation's forests. Tips on how to pick a proper campfire spot, how to maintain and extinguish a campfire, and where to properly dispose of charcoal after barbecuing are all common sense suggestions for preventing a raging inferno. The commonality among these simple tips is that the responsibility rests in the individual. The slogan was, "Only you can prevent forest fires." Well, today, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok are flooded with recollections of near misses and rants about absent-minded motorists. Even though every state has enacted law which mandates that motorists slow down or move over when they see flashing lights, who's complying? While necessary and required by statute, the reflective vest has become a brightly colored shield that some feel repels oncoming traffic. Worn with this attitude, it is more of a target than a defense. When in the path of an oncoming driver, neither the vest nor the law has power to protect the operator. What we do not see often enough is personal accountability by the towing and recovery operator, a trained and competent individual who is taking steps to keep him or herself safe while working at the roadside. Consider the spirit with which Smokey Bear delivered his message when I say, "Only you can prevent yourself from being struck on the roadside." I say this fully aware that lightning, an unstoppable force of nature, is the cause for some forest fires. In spite of our best efforts, tragic losses of towers still happen. Nonetheless, a towing operator must take accountability for his or her own actions. They themselves must make the choices about their behavior that will take them home safely at the end of every shift. I offer the following simple strategies to operators of carriers which can increase your safety on the roadside. Strategy 1 begins as soon as you arrive at the roadside destination. Consider that you've been dispatched to transport a disabled automobile from the side of a busy expressway. Upon arrival, you find the client's vehicle on the right-hand shoulder. After safely positioning your towing vehicle, consider the path you'll take to meet the client or reach the rear of the truck. Once you check the mirrors to ensure it's safe to exit the cab, the quickest and shortest route to the curbside is around the front of the tow truck. For most towing or transport vehicles, getting out of the zero buffer zone means taking 4 paces towards the front of the truck. The alternate but less safe route means a trek of 20 to 30 feet through no man's land, then 10 to 12 more feet through the crush zone that's between the towing vehicle and the casualty to get to the non-traffic side. Demonstrating to the client that it is safe to walk in the zero buffer zone could cause them to step out into traffic. After all, your choice served as an example. The safest path is the shortest route to the non-traffic side. The second strategy works best when the client is still inside their vehicle when you arrive. Approach the curbside window, introduce yourself to the client, then ask that they stay in the vehicle for a moment longer. Next, place wheel chocks on the vehicle's curbside tires to prevent it from rolling forward or backward. Return to the curbside window and give the client quick instructions about how to safely exit their vehicle. Your first responsibility is always your own safety, but the next most important charge is the client's safety. Instruct them to exit only once there is a gap in traffic, then come directly to your position on the non-traffic side. Prior to exiting, ask them to shift the vehicle's transmission into neutral and release the parking brake. The wheel chocks will prevent the casualty from rolling, and you've just eliminated one trip to the traffic side to prepare the vehicle for loading onto the carrier. Once the client is with you, escort them to the cab of your towing vehicle and ask them to remain inside until you join them for the ride to their destination. Since most breakdowns requiring a tow result in the casualty being parked on the outside shoulder, Strategy 3 asks you to consider storing every piece of rigging, securement devices, and safety equipment that you may need for loading exclusively on the passenger side of the carrier. I've spoken to many operators who admit that the tow lights for their wrecker are on the driver's side of the vehicle because that's where the charging connection was installed from the factory. That's not a reason for disregarding your own safety. That's an excuse for someone else's ignorance. Some operators say their sports car or exotic vehicle bridles are kept on the driver's side because they're seldom used and the boss put them there. Is it considered more favorable to place yourself in harm's way 3 or 4 times a month to retrieve a less used item? I recognize that every square inch of space on our tow trucks and carriers is prime real estate. Please consider organizing and storing your equipment in a manner that keeps you, the most important asset in this scheme, safe on the highest percentage of calls. Also, ensure that the passenger side controls are fully functional and that you, the operator, become just as familiar with them as the driver's side controls. A carrier that responds to roadside transport calls should not be in service if the passenger side controls are inoperative. My obsessive compulsive nature likes things neat and symmetrical. So, this next tip may come as a surprise. When you finish your next job involving the winch on your carrier, consider stowing both legs of the winching bridle in a tie-down slot on the passenger side rear corner of the carrier deck. Light tension on the winch line will keep them secured. While this may not be pleasing to the eye in terms of symmetry, it will indeed provide an opportunity for you to stay out of the crush zone should you need to change out the bridle. Placing your body between the casualty and the rear of the towing vehicle is not always preventable. Nevertheless, if you can prevent one exposure to this dangerous area, shouldn't you? This strategy makes the next one possible, unless you're 7.5 feet tall. Dual-sided free spool handles and air release solenoids are optional items on most carriers. If you or the company opted for a stainless steel visor over these more useful upsells, you'll find that to release the winch, a trip to the zero buffer zone is required when the truck is parked on the right shoulder. Another trip back to engage the winch is also required once enough wire rope has been deployed. The alternative is to never need to unlock the winch for routine loading of the carrier. Here's where the fourth strategy comes in. Once you have perfected how to park the carrier Deploying the bed will place the edge of the deck right underneath the casualty's bumper. Then, 5 to 6 feet of wire rope is all that you must pull from the winch to reach the transport connections. With the winching bridle secured to the passenger side corner of the deck as mentioned in the previous tip, you can reach over the side of the bed and grasp the wire rope with one hand and operate the winch lever with the opposing hand. Proper positioning of the carrier means less wire rope to pull off of the winch drum. For a more thorough explanation, watch our video on this method at wreckmaster.com. This technique does require practice to perfect, so start now. Federal law requires a minimum of 4-point tie-down on any transported cargo. This includes automobiles. Two of these are on the traffic side, so the fifth strategy must be taken with a grain of salt. I don't intend to advocate for willful breach of statute, but when complying with the law places me in the path of inattentive motorists, I'll take my chances as a criminal. Once the client's vehicle has been placed on the carrier deck, the first thing an operator should do is install a front tie-down on the non-traffic side. Secure the front of the casualty to prevent it from rolling backward in the event of a failure between the winch and the attachment to the vehicle. Here's the first opportunity to remain compliant with the law, but enter a game of virtual Frogger. Option 1 is to install the other front tie-down that's on the traffic side. Option 2 is wait until later. I'll wait. Next, lower the deck a little and slide it forward, leaving room to move the bed into the locks. Keep the bed angled up slightly since only one tie-down has been installed. Now, install a rear tie-down on the non-traffic side of the casualty. Then lower and slide the bed into the locks. Make sure you keep yourself out of the kill zone behind the cargo that's now resting on your carrier bed. The 8-point tie-down method is a terrific way to keep yourself to the sides of the vehicle when loading and unloading. Now that the front and rear tie-downs have been installed and tightened only on the curb side of the carrier, join your client in the cab of the tow vehicle and drive cautiously to the nearest safe haven. This could be a rest stop, a gas station, or an emergency pull-off area. Install the driver's side tie-downs, relax the winch, and head to the destination. If placing yourself on the traffic side of the vehicle to install a tie-down system is more dangerous than driving cautiously to the nearest safe haven away from this hazard, I'm in favor of erring ever so briefly to increase the chances of my own survival. I was never any good at Frogger anyway. I recognize that each towing call, no matter how routine, has its own unique features. These tips may not work in every scenario. However, if you can incorporate them into a disciplined approach to your job, they will eliminate almost every single reason for placing yourself on the traffic side of the carrier during a loading operation. The responsibility lies with you. The public doesn't seem to be giving us any more room to do our jobs. So, it's up to you to make the choices that are going to keep you safe. For more information on these topics, see Wreckmaster's website and consider joining us at an in-person course.
Well, hello, Wreckmaster family. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are. I hope you enjoyed the first installment of Heroes from the Ditch. I've got the distinct honor of being joined with my colleague, Scott A., dear friend and colleague for, gosh, how long has it been, Scott? When did we first meet?
It's been quite a few years. When did you take your first class,
Casey? 2007.
So it's been 2007.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
So this is a new thing with Wreckmaster, and We're just trying to get the word out that, you know, personal accountability is a big thing. Training is a big thing. Safety is a big thing. And, you know, we're hoping this is something that's well received. So you've had a chance to hear that little talk, and just wanted some feedback from you on how this whole thing works and what this looks like in your discipline.
You know, Casey, it's kind of ironic that everything that has to do with the towing is about a routine, and the process that you just introduced the people that listened to your last scenario was you gave them a routine. Quite frankly, the biggest downfall to our industry with towers is they don't take the time to educate themselves to create a routine that makes their job easier. The carrier, we as an industry take for granted. It's light duty, it's not a heavy duty operation. It's something that we as an industry look at like we can't damage anything with it. Yeah. I've always liked the line that damage is free, because it is free, but somebody got to pay for it, right?
Damage free, right?
Damage free. That being said, we seem to want to throw the new guy into the carrier, and we don't give them the tools that they need to be successful at that job. You know, they go out and spend a day or two with the lead driver. The lead driver's maybe getting a week with them at best. Most companies are trying to give them a two-week window, maybe a three-week window. But as the lead driver realizes that little Johnny's slowing him down and he's losing money,
Training's over. Time to go out on your own, right?
Training's over. It's time to turn them loose. Quite frankly, over the years I've been doing this, and there's been quite a few years, I've been involved with RecMaster for quite a few years. I've heard every line there is. I can't afford training. I can't afford to send guys to training. I'm going to smile and tell you that we as owners can't afford not to send drivers to training. Misconception is that can't happen to me. I know you're well aware, Casey, but our audience probably isn't. 1997, I was hit by a car changing a tire on a routine tire change on the freeway. I don't believe most of us towers realize how dangerous our job is. I spent 11 and a half months in a hospital, rehabilitation, countless surgeries on my leg. The doctors were able to save my leg. I've kind of gotten back to a pretty normal life. People wouldn't know that I had that happen to me unless I've shared it with them.
Yeah, you've only mentioned it to me a couple times.
The backstory on that is we get complacent. And we feel that that can't happen to us. We get invincible. Our job is mundane and routine and the same thing over and over again. And we as towers lose track of the proper routine to keep ourselves safe. Knowledge is power. The more we know, the more we can convince the tower, whether he be new or he be old, in the towing industry, of the available resources to them to make our job safer, faster, and more efficient is priceless. It saddens me that we do not get the amount of participation when it comes to training. you know, the towers are taking the attitude that they don't need training. That's a waste of money. I know you've heard that.
Yeah.
Over and over, I've heard people and been told by towers, what are you going to teach me? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Come on. When I started towing, it was a different game. You know, I was trained by people that showed me a J-hook V-bridle on the front and one chain wonder on the back. You know, some of the downfalls that I've had have, but I've been pretty comfortable with that method. Until you have something go south on you.
Well, let me take you back to like the months or days before your incident, your injury. If somebody in a white shirt and black tie had come up to you and said, I've got a set of steps that I would encourage you to follow to make keep yourself safe on the roadside. I've got a procedure that I'd like to recommend you follow. Never even mentioned the word discipline. But if somebody gave you a list of steps, what would have been your reaction back then? I mean, how, knowing what you know now, I think we could agree that some simple strategies in keeping towards keeping yourself safe is a good thing. But how do you get in that mindset where you're willing to accept that maybe there is a better way to do what I'm currently doing?
Well, the easiest way for that is to show someone. That being said, going back to that day, prior to my incident, I probably would have laughed at him. Like, Mr. Burroughs, what are you going to teach me? I know everything there is to know about the towing world. As I look back on my career in the towing world, you can always teach an old dog a new trick. And quite frankly, everything in the towing and recovery world has changed. My accident probably changed my complete demeanor on the towing and recovery world. I can tell you that it definitely showed me what was important and what wasn't. You know, I lived and breathed the towing and recovery, giving up on a lot of things in life and overlooking a lot of life for the towing and recovery. Knowing what I know now in the training world, just the mere fact that I can save 5, 10, 15 minutes off the time it takes me alongside the roadway by following a simple routine that was presented to me back in 1999 by a funny little feller by the name of Terry.
Pappy.
Who became my pappy real fast.
Right.
Was priceless.
Yeah.
I don't think that owners are looking at the time that can be cut off of a tow, a lift and tow, or even for that matter, a load and securement on the carrier deck, and the efficiency that can be put into their guys, number one. Number two, I think the biggest thing that the owners are missing, and we as tow operators are missing, is the confidence and the building up of the driver as to what we're doing, why we're doing, and what makes it better than the way you were doing it.
Yeah, I can't, just to jump in there on the word confident. One of the things that I've found really helps me feel confident is when I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. When there's a reason, it's not just, hey, I need you to do it this way. So, you know, just having a quick reflection back on that podcast, you know, there's exit safely, place wheel chocks, where do we place our equipment, where do we store our winch line, and, you know, and only do a curbside town. So that's a check the box kind of thing. But if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're going to omit those at some point. So that's great. That's one of the things that I always loved about RecMaster was I understood the why. And when I understand the why, it makes me a more confident operator. But there's a fine line between confidence and ego. Well, can you speak to that a bit?
Well, let's back up. Let's look at our upbringing in the towing and recovery world. Yeah, I started in a tow truck at the age of 14. Times were a little different back then. I know that you grew up in a family business. When you asked the question why, whether it was to your grandpa or dad, or in my case, it was my uncle, the standard answer was, because I told you so. I don't know how many times I've heard that line. I don't know how many times I've argued, been yelled at for things I didn't do because I didn't pay quite a good enough attention. And back in the day, if you were lucky enough to pay attention and watch, you could learn why it worked. What RecMaster brought to the table for me was why.
Yeah.
Why when I put the snatch block in, did the car move? And why it didn't move when I didn't have that block in? Or why my truck slid? There's a lot of whys that were answered by just being able to figure out the forces that you have to put on something to make it move. The confidence can be very quickly misconstrued as being arrogant.
Yeah, I agree.
We are considered sometimes, I know I am, I'm looked at as I'm being cocky. And I don't look at it as that. I look at it as being confident. I know because in my head or on my calculator, however, whatever method I decided to go down to come up with what kind of force it was going to take to make something move, I know what it's going to take.
Right.
You know, I know that when I put a 4-point tie down on a car, when I tow it on a flatbed carrier from point A to point B, when I get to point B, it's going to be on the backside still. It's not going to come off. It's not going to fall off. I know that's simple, but one of the things that I think the towers totally miss are the simplicity of what we do. We take for granted a lot of things. We take for granted that when we pull something up on the deck and we throw a chain on the back side of it and we hunker it down with the winch, nothing's going to break. When we get from point A to point B, it's going to be still on the back there. And quite frankly, I don't know that was wrong, because that's how I was trained in the flatbed.
And you happen to have been successful a number of times, probably.
Correct, because I knew just how tight to pull her.
Yeah.
Pull her tight enough. As times have changed, the designs of the cars have changed. The things we're hooking to aren't as sturdy as they were back in the day. If the towers didn't change, it's going to cripple them.
Yeah, but I think also there's a new awareness. And I think it's been creeping in, but I think it's becoming clearer and clearer to most of us that we have an obligation to those around us to create this environment for safety and success. And carrying a casualty down the road on an open bed that is a car carrier rollback, whatever you want to call it, that thing could become a violent projectile in different traffic conditions, risking not only the driver of the towing recovery operator, but those around them. And, you know, our actions have to We have to be responsible for our actions, and we have
consequences.
Exactly, there are consequences. It's just that, thank goodness, the majority of us, when choosing the wrong path, haven't had to suffer the consequences. And I think that's where we come in, because we've, as instructors, we get to hear these stories. We scour the internet and we hear stories from ages ago about a lot of these accidents that have happened and what could have been done to prevent them. And so we get a bit more of this than the average tower. So we know what can go wrong and what will go wrong if you don't follow this disciplined approach that, number one, keeps the casualties secure. But the overarching theme, and what I really wanted to convey through that message you heard a few minutes ago, was we have to be accountable to ourselves, because only we can make those choices that are going to keep us safe. You know, the vest isn't going to save us. The law's not going to save us. It's personal accountability. Is there, you know, what can you speak to that? Where have you seen that you have made choices that you know for a fact, and maybe even just speaking in spite of, or the learnings that your incident brought you, you know, where has personal accountability come into you and your job? Because you're still a tow operator. In addition to going out and teaching class, right?
I still am.
You're still doing it. So where's personal accountability come into your line of work?
Well, personal accountability's probably, you know, you spoke on the vest isn't going to save you. I had a vest on when I was hit. Quite frankly, as I look back on my incident, and it's been quite a few years at this point, as I look back, I wouldn't do anything different today than I did back on that day. Freakily, the person that hit me didn't stop. They never found that person. And I, to this day, don't believe that I did anything that created that. On a personal level, changes, I'm much, much, much more aware of my surroundings. I check, I double check, and I recheck before I exit my truck.
Yeah.
Especially on the freeway. I'm not going to spend any more time in that, for lack of a better term, kill zone alongside the roadway than I absolutely positively have to. I'm going to get the vehicle and I'm going to take it from the roadway to a safe environment to be able to continue to tie it down properly.
So you're okay with that?
I am okay
with
that. When I heard that,
I think we all are.
When I heard that, Casey, I kind of chuckled. You know, a funny story about myself. I grew up with God and gravity holding cars on my auto loader back in the day when I was much younger. How times have changed through education. I'm a firm believer in the education of what we do. I'm not that guy that is going to smile at you and tell you I've never had a damage claim. Because if it could be bent, broke, or torn to shreds, I've written a check for it. Whether I did it or one of the children that work for me do it. Those are things that we don't think about. You know, we like to believe that we give towers that work for us the tools that they need to perform the job, the task that we give them to do. Real enlightening thing for myself. It's kind of a funny story, but not really. Years ago, I got sick of the wiring harnesses on my flatbeds going out. So I ordered 3 new flatbeds, and I decided that I was going to put stationary headache racks for my light pylons versus the one that moves with the bed, so I could eliminate that cord moving back and forth and being expensive every time it breaks. And I'm coming in from out of town work in a class. It's about 3 a.m. and I'm driving in, and I happen to come up upon one of my trucks alongside of the road with that stationary light bar, and he had a van that he was loading on, and you couldn't even see the light bar.
Right.
You know, some of the things we do that we think we're helping ourselves end up harming what we do and putting ourselves into a different position. I know, funnily, I smiled at you the other day when we were having a conversation, and I said, where'd you come up with your discipline on the flatbed? And you chuckled and said,
you taught it to me.
When you were a student.
Right.
You know, there's simple little things that we don't think about. You know, the confidence level, sure, I'm going to puff my chest out when I know that it's going to take 3,000 pounds to move that car, or 2,000 pounds, and my wire rope's rated at 3,335 pounds, or 350 pounds. Yeah, I'm going to puff my chest out, and the confidence level's going to be up. What we don't think about as the owners, as the people in charge, is we're doing 200-300 lift and toes,
right,
load and securements, yeah, to every one recovery. Oh, and that recovery's probably laid over on its roof or on its side. Show me the scratch I put on it versus the one you did. You know, the towing world we take for granted, and we're doing it and doing it over and over and over again. We, the owners of the towing industry, can't afford not to educate the tower, to create a routine for them, to make them faster, more efficient, to take them out of harm's way. You know, the tower doesn't think about that. He doesn't. He knows that when he gets out of the truck, he jumps out, he pulls the lever to put the winch into freewheeling. He runs the bed out. He has to run it from the right side, the driver's side of the truck, because that's how he was taught.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't think about there's a car coming and it could potentially hit me. No, you know, that isn't a thought that couldn't happen to you until something like that happens to your company or yourself. You know, think about it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, my type of event, which was huge. It could be getting brushed by a mirror. You know, I mean, how many times have you ever been alongside the road and felt the breeze of the truck or car going
by? Hear those
by
rumble strips. Oh, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, and we take it for granted. Oh, that ain't going to hit me. I'm Casey Burroughs.
But, there's way too many names on that beautiful monument down there in Chattanooga. And every fall, names get added.
6 a month? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
Every 6 days is what the average has been over these years. But we don't need to wait until those beautiful fall days in Chattanooga to realize how important these people are that we've lost. And I think if there's a message that I kind of want to line this whole conversation, to provide that nice, soft, beautiful lining, is if you're listening to this and you're a tow operator, I don't care whether you just started the job or for what reason you're doing the job. I mean, to some, this is a fallback job and not a career. To some, this is the only thing they've ever done. To some, they're doing it because they've gotten forced in by family. But whoever out there is listening to this, they need to know. That when I made that simple statement somewhere in that podcast that identifies the tower as the most important asset in this scheme. You're important. Scott, your life matters. My life matters to someone out there. And if we take away that one element, if I don't go home at night, who's going to protect my kids? Who is going to live out the rest of the days with my wife? You know, we've both got daughters graduating high school this year.
Yeah.
And I'd like everybody out there to hear that, yeah, we wear pretty white shirts, some nice looking black ties, but we really do care about you. You and I, Scott, have developed a bond over the years, and I consider you a dear friend. And not to diminish that friendship at all, but I have the same level of of care and devotion to these people who are out there doing the same job you and I are doing. And I think there's times that they just need to hear somebody cares.
Yeah.
And they are indeed important. And take your job seriously. Because you matter. And we want to be there to help coach you through some better ways to do things so that you will always be there until you take your last natural breath. And it doesn't have to be because you got stuck on the roadside. Everything I think that I do, all my reason for being here, for doing this job with Rec Master, is that I care about the people that are doing it. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be here. So I think that's probably a pretty good way to close this out. Just by letting everybody out there know you're important, you matter, and you got to do what it takes to cover your, well,
buns.
See you in the ditch, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Guys, the towing and recovery world has been very good to me. I get disheartened when I hear towers explain to me that they needed a job and that's how they got into the towing world. If I can leave you with anything before we part company on this chat, take pride in what you do. Take pride in yourself and spend the time, energy, and money on yourself to educate yourself to be the best that you can be. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the more you're worth.
That's right.
Have a good night, good morning, whatever time it is where you're at, and I'll see you in the ditch.
Scott, thanks.
Thank you, Casey.
Good to see you.
It's a pleasure.